Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, you guys can have a seat if you'd like. We go in a little time of prayer here. Father, we bless you, Father. We ask you to put a protection over us, Father, for the coming week with the weather the way it is, Father. We also want to just say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be in your place, Father. Thank you for getting us here. Thank you for people who are willing to come out and hear your word, Father. Hear what you have to say and get as much as they can, Father. Everybody here is hungry for you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to do something a little different today. First of all, I'm up here. That's kind of different. Second of all, we're going to do what we call part of our small group lessons. If you haven't joined a small group here at Life Change, they are very, very useful. Everybody gets a lot out of them. Everybody enjoys them. It kind of puts a buffer into your week. It lets you get rejuvenated in your week. It's not something you have to come to and learn. Well, you do have to come and learn. I shouldn't say that. It's something that you get rejuvenated by. It's just to be with friends. It's just a hangout. We talk about Jesus. We talk about problems that we have, and we go from there. So we have three small groups. Miss Julie here hosts one at her house on Mondays. She does a video-based group called Aha. Pastor Corbin hosts one on Tuesdays. His is pretty much a review of what the last week's sermon was. So he teaches again, ask questions, get some in-depth questions. That's always a good one. I had the honor of doing that with a couple people there this week, and I learned more than they did, I'm sure, which is always a great thing. Wednesday night's hosted at Travis Linder's house. I actually kind of lead that. We're doing a book called Be Real Because Fake is Exhausting. It's exactly what it sounds like. I like simple books. I don't like, big words. I'm not a $5 word guy. So, it's exactly what it seems. It's basically telling us how to be real in Christ. So what today's sermon is, or today's group is a combination of all the groups. And we're going to talk about Corbin's prayer sermons. We're going to talk about a little bit about Aha, what goes along with that. We're going to talk about how to be real in Christ and how to be real with each other. John, my faithful little guy who takes care of me back there, he's going to walk around with a microphone. He's not going to stick it in your face and expect you to answer something you don't want to answer. But this is a small group lesson. In a small group lesson, I throw out a couple questions, I throw out a couple thoughts, and you guys come up with your opinions. Why do we do this? We learn that I have the same problems as Miss Beth, as Carrie, as John. We all have the same problems. We have different ways of coping with those problems. And eventually we start to learn that, man, we're all in the same boat here. We all have the same issues. And it's kind of awesome to see how we each deal with them, how we can each support them. So that's what the lesson's going to be about today. So that's why we're doing this, the intro. We're going to be going over The Circle Maker was the first book we did as a small group together as a church. We're going to be pulling a little bit of that. We're going to be pulling a little bit from the sermons. We're going to be pulling a little bit from Crash the Chatterbox, which we did last quarter. Corbin also preached on that, and then the Be Real book. So let me ask you, first of all, does anybody want to define what prayer is? Simple question. Corey, did I see your hand fly up? John, can you get Corey? Corey, what is prayer, buddy? Define it for me.
I would say that it is communicating with God.
Okay. What's the difference between corporate and individual prayer? Corporate prayer is what we do here. When I get up here and we pray right before the sermon, that's corporate prayer. That's everybody getting together. That's getting with God. Where two or more are gathered, he is in this place. Okay? That's corporate prayer. Individual prayer is the conversation you have with God. When can that conversation happen? That conversation can happen at any point. It can happen on your drive to work. It can happen on your lunch break. It can happen when the kids are sleeping at night, when you spend the last 15 minutes of your day in bed, or your first 15 minutes of your day out of bed. That's individual prayer time. All right? Those are the prayer. That's the definition of prayer. There's three parts to prayer, I believe. There's three ways that we pray to God. There's the I need, okay? Father, please bless so-and-so because they're having some health issues. Father, bless my finances. Father, I need this, please. And those prayers are awesome. God wants to hear every one of those. The second thing we need to do is we need to just give thanks. Father, I know my life's screwed up. I know I'm in pain. I know my finances are a wreck. Father, I woke up today. I have kids who love me unconditionally, even though they might hate me at some point. They love me unconditionally. You know, we need to tell God thanks at all points for every blessing we have in life. Our last one, and the third thing, and it's one of the most important things I believe in prayer, and it's the thing that I'm the worst at. It's sometimes we just need to shut up and listen. You know, sometimes we need to just sit there and go, Father, here I am. You know, I'm going to turn off the radio. I'm going to sit in a dark room for a half hour, and I'm just going to listen. Okay? That is sometimes the most gratifying, and it's the most scary, because if we sit there and listen, what could happen? Anything? What happens if God talks to you? What happens if God puts something in your heart? What happens when God says, you know, and it doesn't even have to be an audible sound. What happens when God comes up and puts in your heart, hey, you need to go bless this family, or you need to step out and do this? Because the one thing God is going to talk to you in this place the most is when you're uncomfortable. God wants to make you uncomfortable to make you move. Okay, that's what he wants to do. And by definition, uncomfortable is not comfortable. You know, so when God does lay something on your heart, or he talks to you, or he puts something in your mind, that's an awesome thing. But man, do we have the guts to go do it? That's the question. And that's the scary part. It's the most awesome part of prayer, and it's also the most scary. You know, just listening, and then what happens when God does actually talk back. So prayer is a discipline to be practiced. So your language with God, you know, your language with God can be anything you want. It can be, hey, how you doing today? I've got this issue, I'd like to say thanks. And it can be just a conversation with you and God. It doesn't have to be the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't have to be a corporate type situation. You know, if you go to a Catholic Mass, which there's nothing wrong with, it's a bunch of chants, a bunch of recited prayers that, you know, are useful for that individual, I'm sure. But your conversations with God can be as long as they're heartfelt and intense. That's what God wants from you. They want to be intense. So your conversations get more pointed with the deeper in faith you become. So think about that for a second. When you become deeper in your faith, when you practice your faith, when you practice praying, which you have to practice praying, when you practice, that's when your prayers become more pointed. I'm not saying they're better. Because if you've ever heard a three-year-old say a prayer right before bed, it's priceless. In my mind, that's when God's the happiest, is when he has a three-year-old praying to him. Okay? He doesn't care what he sounds like. All he knows is, Mommy hurt her elbow today, she hit her funny bone, and he saw Mommy in pain, so he's going to pray for that, not understanding that everything's good now. You know, that's what God wants. God wants you to be raw. He wants you to be innocent. And I really believe that the language of your prayers doesn't have to be, you know, so corporate, so refined. It can just be raw and emotional with God. God cares more about desperation than protocol. That's exactly what that stands for. He cares more about your desperation than your protocol. Okay? He just wants to hear from you. And the greatest thing is when I pray, I'm kind of backwards, not too smart, redneck, if you can't tell. So when I pray, sometimes I can't even figure out what I'm trying to say. I can't get the right sentence out. I don't know what I mean. I know there's something in my heart that needs prayed for. I know I have an issue with something. And I sit there and go, God, please, that. You know, I truly believe he looks in my heart and hears my prayer. As long as I'm trying, as long as I'm opening up to him in that forum, it doesn't matter what your language is. I want some opinions on this, so one or two opinions on this next statement. The book The Circle Maker, which you see up here, says, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your bold prayers. He is offended by anything less. Does anybody want to discuss that? Anybody want to tell me what that means? Yeah, a bold prayer. Okay. You spend enough time and pray it again. That's good. Does anybody think we ask God for too much? Does anybody think that, you know, hey, if I ask for health, if I ask for wisdom, if I ask for finances, if I ask, you know, to be a better person, you know, does anybody think we ask God for too much? I'm exactly with her too. A lot of times, you know, when do we pray the most? That's right. God, I need. God, if you get me out of this situation, I'll make you a deal. I'll cut you a poker hand, man. You know, we're good at that. Well, let me put it this way. I'm good at that. All right, God, if you get me out of this mess, I promise I'll be better. Let me ask you this. Is it okay to pray for a new car? I drive a 2014 truck. Should I pray for a new car? Yeah, you can. Is it right? Is that the bold prayer God wants? Okay. Or it might be answered 10 years from now. But let me ask you this. Somebody out there is driving a 1978 Datsun 510. All right, it's breaking down every other day to work. Okay, is it right for that person to pray for a new car? Bold prayers. Okay, what I pray for is a want. What they're praying for is a need. Okay, so we can have the same prayer, but it doesn't mean the same thing in God's eyes. Okay, God is going to take care of you. When we give everything over to God, and we pray, and we talk, and we go after Him, God is going to give you everything you need. He will give you, He may not give you a new car. He may give you a 1980 Nissan instead of the Datsun, but He's going to make sure you got cars to get your family around, get your transportation, get to work. He's always going to provide when we give ourselves over to Him. I truthfully believe that. And that has to do with prayer, communication. God answers prayers in His time and in your time of vulnerability. It's exactly what we just talked about. God, and this is probably one of the more frustrating things that new Christians learn, and old Christians still don't learn it, because I would consider myself an old Christian, and I still don't learn it. God's going to give me what I need in His time. And the madder I get that He doesn't give me what I want right now, probably the longer that is out. You know, it's like you teach your kids a lesson. You know, if you keep asking, it's probably going to be longer till you get something. You ever think God kind of teaches us like a 4 or 5 year old? You know, we keep asking for stuff that, you know, we don't need, even though we think we need it. You know, He's probably not going to bless us with what we need. So keep that in mind also. Here's an interesting one. And we talked about this in small group on Tuesday, I believe. What happens to our prayers when they go unanswered? Do they expire? And if so, what does God say to do with those prayers? Does anybody have a thought? It's exactly what God says. Keep asking every day, every time you pray. If there is something that's truly on your heart and you feel it's in God's will, the important word's there. If you feel it's in God's will, keep asking. Okay, He wants you to strive after it. It's kind of the no pain, no gain type situation. You know, God, to get what you want, He wants you to keep striving for it. He will give you some things right off the bat. You know, it's awesome when you pray for something and then that night that something happens. That's awesome. Does it happen that often? Not at all. You know, so He wants you to keep striving after Him to answer those questions. How would you answer Jesus if He specifically asked you, "What can I do for you?" Think about that for a second. It's kind of a hypothetical, but it's really not if anybody wants to answer it. But if you're sitting there praying and you're listening, all right, and God says to you, "Hey, I need you to quit your job, move to New Mexico and become an intern at a church for a youth group." How would you answer if God actually talked to you? You know, that's the scary part. Does anybody want to comment on what they think they would do? because we know better than God. Guilty number one, this guy. All right, I know what is better for me than God does. Okay. Anybody else? What would you do if God asked you to do something? No matter what, no matter how small. Is it true that if it fits in our little box, we'd probably do it, no problems, no questions asked? You know, hey, I can put this in here and I can schedule it Thursday from 5:30 to 5:45. Boom, done. God, I am good. Okay. If God asked you to take 2 weeks off to go to an orphanage in Venezuela and minister to kids, not paid from your work, and he says, trust me, would we do it? I think I probably know the answer. I've got a little baby girl at home. I got a wife who has a full-time job. Where the kids going to go? No work, no money for 2 weeks. It just doesn't fit my budget, God. Sorry, man. Hit me up in another 5 years and we'll talk again. You know, that's probably more of where I feel my guilty self would be at. You know, I would love to say, I'd love to get up here and say, hey, you know what? I got a ton of faithfulness. God, you put me anywhere, I'm going to do it. Man, but could I step out and do it? That's the real question. You know, and that's not to put the advertisement back out there, but a lot of times in small groups, questions like this come up. You know, hey, what'd you go through this week? You know, you think it's in God's will? Let's talk. You know, let's work through it together, guys. Let's live life together. And that's what small groups are. That's what these lessons are. Yes, ma'am. Can John give you the mic real quick? He's right behind you, Miss Beth.
Oh, okay. Corbin and I are reading through the Bible, and I should have been reading through it probably 25 times by now, but I'm probably on 3 or 4. But anyway, God asked Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And that would be as big a stretch for me as saying going to Venezuela right now, because there's many things. But he gave Moses confirmation after confirmation that he should do that. And so if God's asking you to do something that big, he's going to give you confirmation to that. Because sometimes we can, in our own mind, think up some crazy thing God wants us to do, but it might not really be God. It might just be ourselves. But if it's truly God, I've always found in my life, there's a confirmation, usually more than one, if it's that big of a life-changing event. For some people to pick up and go to Venezuela, maybe for Corey, might not be a big deal whatsoever. But for some people, that would. But if it's a big deal, God's going to confirm that to you.
That's awesome. Here's something else that goes on top of that. Think about all the miracles that God did in the Bible, all the people he blessed. Simon Peter walking on the water. He didn't have faith. Remember, he fell in. You know, before he got back up, God flat out asked him, why didn't you have faith? Could you imagine that conversation you had to have? Seriously, that would be rough. Think about all the miracles that happened in the Bible. Can anybody give me one that was given to a priest or a scholar or a king? Let's take David out of this because he doesn't fit in my story. But think about all the blessings and all the miracles in the Bible. They're given to people like us. Okay, ordinary people. And we'll talk about this a little later on, the 12 disciples, who they were and what their jobs were. Okay, but God blesses people just like us. So when God maybe talks to you in your time of prayer, and he starts pushing in your heart, you know, hey, stirring in your heart to go do something that makes you uncomfortable, and you're saying, hey, I'm a guy who teaches school Monday through Friday, you know, I don't have any education in ministry. I don't even like people, you know, and he wants you to go out and do something, some outreach in the community. He wants you to go serve at the Look Up Center or the Salvation Army, or he wants you to go, you know, do whatever a blessing he wants to give you. Every blessing starts with somebody like us. Okay, every blessing starts with somebody normal. Just keep that in mind. Do you live in the will of God? Do you jump in and out? Or are you out completely in your life? And how do you tell? That's the other thing. If we're in God's will, we're this close to him. You know, we are right next door to them, man. You know, we're fist bumping in the morning before we go to work. You know, we're singing hallelujah all morning and not getting in trouble for it at work. You know, our kids love us. They're coming home. They're doing our chores for us. You know, we're in God's will. Everything's in perfect harmony. Are we in and out of God's will? Are we, hey, God, you know, I love you today, but man, tomorrow this went wrong, and my friends who are unsaved and non-Christians, you know, they really did some bad stuff that I kind of went along with. I didn't hurt them, and I didn't participate, but I went along with it, you know, and I'm having trouble. I'm struggling in my prayer life. I'm struggling in my finances. My wife and I fight all the time. My kids don't love me. And then Tuesday happens, and you're back into God's will. Are we jumping in and out, or have we lost our way completely? Do we not pray anymore? Do we not strive after God? Do we have our family and our friends, are they Christians? Are we able to, you know, count on them for support? I think that's a very big thing. You know, once you find God's will, and you can only find God's will through prayer with Him, because that is the communication with God. That's where prayer comes in. You start praying, God will lay out what His will is for you. And then, you know, you don't have to jump in and out, or you don't have to be out completely. There are times we are all going to slip up. There are times we're going to fall out of God's will. And if you do a self-evaluation at that moment in your life, you probably realize, I'm out of God's will because, man, this looked a lot more fun than this was. This was God's will. I took this fork because, man, this was a lot more fun, or it made me a lot more money, or I was a lot happier doing this. You know, so prayer helps keep you in God's will. I think that's probably the number one thing with prayer. Is if you're in God's will, it gives you that peace of heart. It gives you that peace of mind. It makes your world better the more you strive to be in God's will. Yes. Use the mic for me, Kara, please.
With God's will, I do go in and out.
Yes.
And I am trying so hard with my 8-year-old to get her to believe that what is to be done is to be done.
Yes.
Going back last week, she was making a Valentine's box, something so minute and fun. She asked her teacher if she was allowed to put a cross on it, and she was told no. So we got out of school the next day. I took her, dropped her off with her box, and she said, "Remember, I can't believe in God today at school." Ooh. And it just crushed me. I said, "You know, what is in your heart is allowed to be in your heart, even though you're not allowed to speak there at school about it." And she said, "Well, I was also told I couldn't bring a book about Jesus, and I really want to." And, you know, already at 8 years old, she's going in and out. Yep. And she's learning where she can and cannot. And I don't know as a parent how to say, "You can, there are just different ways that you can." And I hate that. Hate it. Wow. And at 8, she wants to speak it. She wants to do it.
First of all, let me say, at 8 years old, that's awesome. I never ever quote your spirit on it, and I know you don't. Unfortunately, we have to live by the laws, you know, and that's what makes it rough. You know, when she has her friends come over for a sleepover or something, man, there's nothing you can't say or do at that point. You know, you don't want to send her into getting in trouble in school, you know, and you don't want to deal with that. But God will bless her. And He will show you the light and her the light, being faithful in His will with that. It's a rough place to be, you know. And if anybody else has got any opinions on this, definitely jump in here. But, you know, we have to follow the law of the land. You know, that's a biblical thing also. So, you know, we have to respect that. But anytime out of school that she wants to, you know, tell kids about God or hang out, that's an awesome thing. But yeah, I mean, as far as going to school and doing it, it is rough. It's a rough life out there for that. So I know that probably doesn't help you too much, but yep. And she can put it, you know, you can check with the teachers on, you know, you don't even have to check with the teachers. You know, if she wants to put one on her folder or something, you know, let her put it on her folder. You know, as long as she's not proclaiming Christ, you know, or I hate even saying that. Boy, does that sound bad, you know. Teachers, you know, I know Carrie's one, Kendi's one, you know, it's right. There you go. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, and like I say, anytime she hangs out with friends, tell her she can pray and speak as much as she wants about God. You know, that's an awesome problem to have. You know, it really is. It's an awesome problem to have. So that's a great point too. You know, no, have at it. You know, the funny part is, and that's a great story. And let's talk about that for a second. How much better would our lives be if we were like that? Exactly. I mean, she just taught all of us a lesson. Imagine if, you know, somebody did something wrong to us and we followed them and said, hey, I forgive you. Is there any other way I can help you or bless you? Yeah. Sometimes that's all you need. But how much better would life be if we could learn from an 8-year-old? You know, most of us have kids in here. Smartest we're ever going to be is when our 5-year-old or 6-year-old teaches us a lesson. You know, that's awesome. And don't think that's Kasia just doing it by herself. That's God working through her to teach who needs taught a lesson, a lesson. That's God, people. That's not her. Okay, that's God. So Kara can come in here and she can tell us. Now we can go out tomorrow and tell other people, and all of a sudden that lesson has spread 100-fold. You know, that's God teaching. When you live by faith, prayer, and God's will, it can feel like you're risking your reputation. So when we proclaim God, whether it's Kasia in school or we're at work, we proclaim God. You know, we're talking about God. You know, we're not going overboard, but, you know, people look at us and they see Christ shining through us. Man, we're risking our reputation, you know, because we're not cool all of a sudden. All right, this isn't the cool thing to do. I'm not sitting there swearing. I'm not sitting there making fun or making jokes about my wife or my family, saying how much I hate them or going out and drinking at the bar after work. I'm not doing that. I'm risking my reputation. How stupid is that? You're not risking your reputation. God is risking his reputation. Okay, people see Christ through you. That's God's reputation on the line, not yours. Think about that for a second. You know, all we got to do is be Christ-like. And God's reputation is the one that's on the line there. And I'm pretty sure he can handle his reputation being out there once we show it. Pretty sure he can handle it. So, that's what the prayer small group has been about lately. We're going to go a little bit over the be real part of it, which kind of goes into it. When we pray, and the be real thing is a little bit uncomfortable, I'm not going to lie, because the first thing I'm going to say is one of the hardest things you're going to think of, okay? Be real, because fake is exhausting. If being real means I need to be real to my wife, my family, then be real to my coworkers, be real to all the people I come to in a daily setting. Do you know what being real to you is? Have you been so fake trying to be the prettiest, the skinniest, the smartest, the fastest? Have you told enough lies to get ahead in business or in life? Do you know what the real you is? That's something that I don't know, and I've had a 6-month head start on this book. Still don't know if I can answer. But wouldn't it make sense that if we're praying to God and we're asking for wisdom and we're asking for everything, you know, God, bless this. God, thank you. God, I want to be in your will. How do I follow you? What if we don't know who we are when we're praying to God? How are we supposed to know what we're praying about? You know, that's something to think about. But let's get started on this real quick. Fake things in life. Throw some things out in your life that are fake. We don't need a mic. Just throw some things out. Is there anything fake in your life? Anybody? TV. TV is a fake one. One of my favorite ones here. How about relationships? When you're dating somebody, will you not do anything to impress that other person? Seriously, you will tell them anything, put on any clothes, put on any perfume. You are the smartest, prettiest looking dude in the house, all right? Then you go and get married, and you're walking around in your underwear not carrying a thing, and you're looking like this, all right? That's what happened to Carrie. So, but think about that. Another one, and, you know, this hits home to most of us. What about Facebook? You see everybody's red carpet up front life, man. My kids are perfect. They're smiling. I'm home playing Monopoly with my kids. They love me. My wife is gorgeous. My husband is a stud. They don't want to look what's backstage. Okay? They put their A1 prime up on Facebook. Is it so I feel worse about my life? Is that what I want to be on Facebook for? Now, I love each and every one of you. You know, and you guys are all great, and you would never do just put your greatest stuff up there. But man, I see all this great stuff, and wow, my life stinks. It just doesn't compete to that. My kid yells at me sometime. My wife tells me when I screw up a lot, which is a lot. You know, all that stuff happens. You know, so is that fake? You know, are we leading other people into a problem there? It's just a thought. No, go ahead, man. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, I think. Yeah, he's saying when you're on Facebook and you're praying to God, you know, can God give me wisdom to when I am being fake, when I am hurting other people? You know, is that kind of what you're getting at? Yeah, go ahead. Hey, John, can you get the mic for him? Or Travis, can you run that up to him real quick? Okay. They can over there.
Notice that I every prayer is answered. Mm-hmm. When I get into the system and get, you know, my life squared away, and I narrow down my prayers, and I ask, like, to be able to focus on coming closer to Him. Let me take something positive out of the situation, no matter what it is. And, you know, little stuff like that help me to be able to weed out the people and get to know them for what they truly are. And
right.
You know, just, I'm having trouble.
So your prayers
being specific right now.
Yeah, your prayers become more focused.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
Stuff. Not like, oh God, get me out of jail, please. But
right.
That's a little ridiculous. God, have to give me the willpower and the strength to make it through this and take something positive out of it that I can apply to my life. Mm-hmm. And you know, and something I have noticed is that God. Jesus was hanging out with criminals.
All the time, man.
It was in our, yeah, that's where the people needed help at.
Yep, all the time. Jesus hung out with the least of us.
Yep. So, I'm sure they weren't hanging out with him because he was so good.
He taught them. All right, I promised you we're going to run through the disciples real quick, and I think you're going to see a point that he actually just made. The disciples, Andrew, Bartholomew, James, John, Judas, Jude, Matthew, Peter, Philip, Simon, and Thomas. 11 of the 12 were either fishermen, carpenters, treasurers, tax collectors, or a zealot. Or 11 of the 12. Okay? None of them were scholars. None of them were priests. There was one, Bartholomew, otherwise known as Nathaniel, was a scholar and a priest. Other than that, 11 of the 12 were common, everyday people like us. Okay? Think about that. When God wants a miracle done, He's going to use somebody like us. So don't ever think in God's eyes you are not worthy to be His instrument. Don't ever, ever think that. All right? We talked about this a little bit. Real change occurs as a result of an uncomfortable factor, even a painful situation. Can somebody tell me why this is? Why does real change occur because of an uncomfortable situation? There you go. That's exactly it. We're motivated to move. Okay? You lose a parent, or you lose a kid, or you lose your job. something that drastic. You're motivated to move. You're vulnerable at that point. Because what are we doing? We're back to that first leg of praying. God, I need. Okay? And when God, and when something gets ripped out from under you, it's God, I need. And you're vulnerable. You're opening up to God, realizing there's nothing that I can do about this situation. There's a thing in the chapter here. It's about LeBron for you sports guys. If me and LeBron are on a team, we're playing 2-on-2, okay? What probably is the first thing I shouldn't do? There you go. I should never shoot the stinking basketball. Okay, seriously. All right, I'm going to be the little fat guy that passes to him and just let him go ahead and take over this. Now, what happens if we do the same thing with God? If every problem we have, every issue we have, every blessing we have, instead of us taking going 0 for 7 from the field, not making a shot, and then after about 7 tries, we give it to God. What happens after 1 try by us, or even no tries by us, we take everything to God? What would happen in your life? It seems kind of simple, but isn't it really that simple? I mean, it really is. If we took everything to God the first time, imagine how much less struggle we would have, how much less stress we would have in our life. Just imagine how much light, how much easier life would be. Sam, if you want to come up and help wrap us up here. God lets us make our own decisions. Okay, we don't change when we see the light. We only change when we feel the heat. Think about that. We don't change when we see the light, because all of us, when we're praying, there's the answer. I see the light. God, I see you. I'm going to go ahead and try this myself. I'm going to go ahead and get in trouble. I'm going to go ahead and get stuck. And then when I feel the heat of, I'm really stuck, that's where God comes in. You know, that's where God comes in. And imagine if we just went to the light every time. Because in general, we know the right answer. If we don't know the right answer, what should we do? We pray, and God will give us the right answer. That's the beautiful part about it. So, the last thing, and ask yourself these questions this week and see how far you get with the answers. To find yourself, to find your real. I am a blank to myself. I am a blank to my family. I am a blank to my friends and coworkers, and more importantly, I am a blank to God. Work on this week filling out the answer, filling out that blank space. If you can put the same thing in all four lines, you must be pretty close to being in God's will. Because you're going to be real. You are real to yourself. Imagine that, being, I am the same person to me, my wife, my friends, my coworkers, and God. I know who I am. Now, if you have four different things in those four different lines, do you really have a clue who you are, what your real is? And that's the scary part. You know, how can we find that? It's being in God's will. It's praying. That's the only thing that's going to get you there. Is prayer and being in God's will. And that's what these small groups do. They help us, because this guy does not have the answers. Okay? I ask the questions. If you look, I ask a ton more questions than I told you what to do, because I have no clue what to do. All right? But, you know, these small groups help each other bounce things off each other, and we all strive to be in God's will. So, I'm going to wrap that up. If you haven't been in a small group and you want to be in one, you know, come and see me. We can stick you in one. There's still time to be in one. If you are in a small group, I would say strive. Do everything you can to be at your small groups. When you actually strive, and trust me, the closer you get with God, the more the devil is going to get in your way. You're going to get home late from work. You're not going to have dinner ready. It's going to be a very inconvenience for you to get to your small groups. That's the devil getting in your way of getting closer to God. It's the same thing this morning. You know, How many Sundays have we had with crappy weather already? Anybody think about that? You know, we've had three or four of them with crappy weather already. And look, you guys are here. You know, is that the devil out there trying to get people? How many churches canceled today? Half the churches in the county? Okay, think about that. That's half the people that go to church that are striving after God, staying home in bed. You don't think the devil's rejoicing today about that? Okay, and it would have been easy for all of us to stay in bed this morning. So thank you guys for coming, by the way.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.